Hey, what's up, everybody? This is the Dot Daddy Podcast, and today is January 21st, 2025, and I am here with Johan Trinidad, all the way in Brooklyn, New York. What's up, Johan?
How you doing, man? Thank you for coming in. You know, here in Brooklyn, a little cold outside, but we fine.
Oh, yeah, it's freezing here. It's 8 degrees. Yeah. I've been watching you, and I was recent. Every time I have someone come on, I stalk their Instagram, right, so I can refresh my brain. And I was looking at your stuff, and I'm like, this dude is very – I think you're underrated because you're an incredible artist. You're really skilled, and we were talking offline, and in a short time, you're really good. But I saw this interview you did with American Income. How did you get on that? That guy's got over, it's like got like 600,000 followers. What happened there?
Okay, so I tried to go with him because he got many followers. So I try, you know, to make a little marketing for me, for myself, and, you know, to get a student and stuff like that, and to introduce this business because this business is new. Like if you ask 10 people about S&P, maybe 2 people know about it, or 5, you know, it's not too many people. It's not like tattoo artists, like every corner you can see a tattoo shop, you know. So to break it down a little bit for you, so I DM him and he told me, oh, now I'm in Florida, so let's make it the day. And he come out to here to Brooklyn, you know, and he asked me a couple of questions, so how much like I make and stuff like that. And I get a couple of DMs because, hey, you know, he got nice engagement, you know?
That's great. That's great. So you did it pretty much for the marketing. I do that shit all the time. It's great getting exposure on a different account, and especially a big account. That's great. That's good. Yeah. I saw something else, though. So I'm looking through, and I've been following you for some time. And you're dominating. You're absolutely dominating. And I wanted to know, this is the video I love. You're on a plane, you're playing Mario Kart, right? You're on a plane, you're playing fucking Mario Kart. It looks like a private jet. What happened there?
So one guy from Miami, he DM'd me, he got money, and he told me, Johan, can you come over to here to Miami? And I tell him, yes, of course. So I go over there and, you know, take pictures. Like I was like playing Mario Kart in the private jet, and it was amazing, you know, fun. Yeah. Everything was great. I do the East S&P, but he don't want to, you know, showing his face. I respect that, you know, before I start any procedure, I put all my clients to sign an agreement, you know, and to make sure they want to or cover the face or they want to show up.
I do that too. I say, look, I can blur your face or we can show your face. Sometimes I even give them a discount if they let me show their face. But yeah. Good for you. So basically you had some rich guy in Miami was like, hey, Johan, I like your work. I'll fly you down. So he flew you down on his own plane.
Yeah. And the guy who put me in with that person, he called Especial. If you write it down, Especial here in Brooklyn, he's a producer artist, very popular. He come to me and he be with El Alfa, with Drake, with a lot of artists, Little Baby. So I did his S&P. He told me, Johan, I don't want a 3 session because 3 sessions is going to look a little dark. You know, I tell him, okay, it's fine. Let's do 2 sessions because, you know, in 2 sessions done, it's like 80% of the work. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And did it turn out good? The guy won't show his face. You can't reveal. Maybe you tell me offline who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, who the fuck? What? How did you get on? Now, did you also get on the, it looked like you were also on a yacht at some point. Was that this guy's yacht down there?
No. This yacht, it was last month. I was in Dominica, having a vacation, yeah. So I rented over there. I was with my friend. Like, I have a friend over there. We grow together. We kind of the same age. He's 31. And also, we talk a lot. We friendly, you know. He 15 years like friendly, you know. Long time. Okay. I take him for the yacht and have a little fun over there.
Nice. Okay, so basically you met up with your childhood friend and now he's got a yacht or a boat. Are you guys renting it?
Rented, yeah.
Just going out, having fun. Good for you, yeah. Man. Good for you. So where did you grow up, Johan? Obviously, English is not your first language, and I do appreciate we talked offline. You were like, Joey, do you think my English is good enough for the interview? I definitely do. You're doing great. But where are you originally from?
I appreciate that. Thank you. So I grew up in Dominican Republic. I come here when I was 18 years old, and I come 2012. And this year, I'm going to turn 13 years old in this country. So basically, I learned English when I work at the barbershop, never go to the school, you know, trying to have a little conversation with my clients and all that. And I learned little by little. And now, you know, I can have a little conversation with anything with everybody, you know. And I'm glad because I'm trying to do my best, you know.
Yeah, you're doing really well. So you just learned it from being in the barbershop and talking to people?
Yes.
Wow. Did you, I guess, so learning, have you began to dream in English or do you still dream in Spanish?
Both.
Okay. Okay. Because I hear people, they tell me when they're learning languages, they start, eventually they'll start dreaming in the other language.
Yeah. So basically, like, I speak very fluent Spanish. Now, like, with my brother, he helped me a lot because he's finished the school here. So his name is Francisco. And he told me everything, Joan, write it like this. And now I take you know, my English to the next level, you know, with my brother.
You're doing well. You're doing well. And did you, a lot of people tell me they watch TV and they read the subtitles. Did you do any of that?
Yes, I do that. Yeah. Sometimes when I put watching on Netflix, I put the title and I put it in Spanish so I can
know. Read the words going along. Yeah. And figure it out,
yeah.
So what was life like growing up in the Dominican Republic? I imagine it was a lot different than being here or being in Brooklyn.
It's a good question. So my father and my mom was together. And I have a brother, a sister, and I go to the school there. So it was a little hard because, you know, like sometimes we want to buy something, we don't have money enough. So I always like person, I love, you know, working. So creativity person too. Like I remember like my mom told me like a couple of months back, Joan, you remember when you was kids, I buy a toy for you, like a car, and you open it to see what is inside on the car. So I always like a move person. Like, I try to, you know, see what's going on with everything, you know.
Oh, you're like taking it apart. You want to see the insides.
Yeah. Stuff like that. So everything was nice over there, you know. I got from my father's side, all my family's there.
Okay, so they're all still there. So yeah. Was it your mom who moved up here when you were 18? Is that why you moved to U.S.?
Yes, and she took me and my brother.
Okay, and did she have family here already, or did she just randomly pick New York because it's a big area?
Yes, out here, I got my grandma, I got my auntie, my cousin, everybody's there. So I'm very, you know, thanks God, everything is nice because, like, sometimes when you by yourself, you don't have nobody, like, it's a little hard, you know, to...
And depressing.
And depressing, right? Too, yeah.
Okay. But, so, growing up, did you play any sports in the DR?
Yeah, I love to play baseball. Oh. I grew up baseball all my...
You look like a baseball player. You look like a baseball player.
Yeah, because I left hand. So... My father told me always, like, you don't play because you got talent and you got future. You can make money. But I always like to draw. All my life, drawing. You know, like, making, like, Pokemons or Goku, drawing all Goku, you know. And yeah.
So you focused more on, like, your art, your drawing versus playing baseball?
Yeah.
What positions you play in baseball? Just curious.
Pitcher.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. What is it true? So I hear there's a lot of phenomenal players that come out of the DR. It's like they train year round because it's nice out. I saw they would throw bottle caps or beans, and then you hit it with a small stick.
Yes. I used to play that. It used to be blue.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. I used to play all the time with my brothers. I used to play like. It's a lot of stuff I trying to explain to you in English, but I don't know the words, you know.
Say it in Spanish. Go ahead.
So we playing like Beyuga. We playing like Chichigua. It's, you know, stuff like that. It's like you take the line and you fly.
Like a fishing? Like fishing?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then what? When you hit it, then you reel it back in?
It's like Trompo is like kind of like you throw it on the floor and you put it down and this kind of turn around with speed.
Okay, spinning. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. A top. I think that's called a top. Okay.
When it comes to scalp micropigmentation, you need tools you can trust. That's where InQ SMP products come in. Jade needles are designed for precision and durability, giving you consistent, flawless results every time. Pair them with InQ Pigment, a rich, long-lasting formula your clients will love. Keep things smooth with InQ Butter, perfect for soothing and protecting the skin. And finish strong with Antimicrobial Foam Cleanser for a clean, worry-free healing process. Ready to take your SMP game to the next level? Visit InQCare.com today. InQ SMP products are made for artists by artists.
Were you a good kid, Johan, growing up? Were you a bad kid?
In the middle.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. My mom always hit me like, Johan, don't do this. You always trouble. I tell you coming on time, you always late, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. But nothing too crazy.
No, nothing too crazy. I always humble, always like being like on the school, watching TV, play a sport. Talking with my friend and stuff like that. Yeah.
What part of the DR are you from?
Santiago.
Santiago.
It's more part on the capital.
Okay. So how far is that from? I know where Punta Cana is. Is that
Punta
close?
Punta Cana is like, it's like I'm in the left side and Punta Cana is right here. It's very far.
Okay. Did you grow up? Did you surf or anything? I know you're on the beach.
Yes.
You did? You surfing?
At the river. I know how to swim and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I see. I've never been to the DR, but there's a lot of like horseback riding. I've seen just a lot of videos of people on horses. Did you ride horses?
And when I was little kid, my mom put me behind to another guy, but I never drive.
Yeah, you just ride on it with them.
Yeah, yeah.
How does, maybe you don't know this, but how does the DR make most of their money? Is it through tourism?
They make the money, yeah, on the tourists, yeah. It's a lot of people, yeah, there. They go Punta Cana, they go La Terrena, they go Puerto Plata. It's a lot of beautiful place over there.
Is that it? Now, did your parents work in the tourism industry or what did they do?
Oh, basically, my father's like, he come here now like 5 years ago. So he do Uber now. And my mother do another job here, like taking old people.
But I mean, when they were in Dominican Republic, what did they do?
Dominica. Yeah, my father's, he graduated the school. So he was like fixing computers. So he really good with the computer. So I grew up when I computer, son, that's why I know how to use the computer. Like those times, because you know, I'm 1994, those times is a little hard, like because it was a lot of money to somebody buy a computer, you know.
Yeah.
Because of my dad, he got a decent job, he make, you know, money there. We also have a computer at home. We study from the computer. I remember when I go to the class, and the teacher told me stories to do, so I just go straight to my computer and I get it ready to the next day.
Okay. So your dad fixed computers while he was down there?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Was it a computer like repair shop or something like that?
Yes.
Or just fixed
for
people?
Repair computer. Yeah.
Yeah, they're rare now, right? Because everybody just buy a new one. They don't.
Yeah,
people don't really fix them.
No. Not anymore. Sometimes, you know, they do over there. I know some places they stay doing, but here in New York, I don't see a place like that. Like, if something is, like, really bad, they throw away and they buy a new one.
Yeah, agreed. How often do you go back to the DR to visit?
Oh, to visit every year.
I go every year? Okay. Do you go as a family or do you go by yourself?
Yeah, by yourself. So now I trying to convince my brother to go with me because he come here when he was like 9 years old, I guess. So he no got no friends there. So he told me, Joan, why you want me go with you? Because I don't have no friends. I tell him, you can go with me and you could have some fun, you know? Mm-hmm. And I try not to convince him to come with me this year. I try to go this December too.
Johan's brother, go with him. Go have fun.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to show this video, yeah.
So he's pretty Americanized, your brother, because he came here when he was 9. So that's pretty much what he remembers as being here. Was it a big adjustment for you going from, you're living on this nice tropical island, it's beautiful, then you come into, New York is beautiful in its own way, but it's not, you know, it's not the DR. How was that adjustment for you?
It was like a little hard in the beginning because I didn't know the English, you know. So I thank God because before I come here, I learned how to cut hair. So I go to the straight to the barbershop when I was 18 years old. So my mom take me to the school, I remember, and she told me, you got two choices. You want to go to the barbershop or you want to start, you know, doing the class. I tell her, you know, something like a little, you know, I almost going to be 21. And, you know, here when you're 21, you're legal, you can do anything. So I tell her, like, I might just go to the barbershop, take my brother to the school. And I'm going to take care of you of anything. Like, you know, like, I always with my mom, like, if you need anything, any favor, I'm here for you. So it was a little hard, but in the beginning, but I remember I started working at one barbershop in Queens. So I realized I had to move on to Brooklyn because I live in Brooklyn. So if I get in barbershop to work in the Brooklyn, it's going to be easy for me. And also I can start learning more English more easy because everybody speak English. I remember in Queens, everybody was Spanish. So if I would stay there in Queens,
You wouldn't have learned English as fast.
Yes. And so I thank God I got here in Brooklyn and I still have one friend. We used to work together 10 years back. And he showed me a lot of things to do properly, you know, in this country. Like, Joan, when you have a conversation with somebody, say that, don't say this, you know. So it was a little hard, boy, in the beginning. But after that, I feel comfortable. Everything was on point. Like, it's amazing. It's a beautiful country, you know. I cannot complain.
That's good. I love to hear that. So trying to get a job in the barbershop at 18 years old, when you show up, did you have to prove, hey, I know how to cut hair, and you do a fade or something for him? How did you actually end up getting the job?
Yes, it's a great question. I have a couple of pictures on my Facebook. I showed to the person, he was a Jamaican guy. I still see him. I say hi to him. You know, we stay friends. So I showed my pictures, and he told me, you really good? I tell it, yes, I can do it. And my friend was translated for me. Yeah, he's nice. He come translate for, you know, Dominican Republic, give me the opportunity for Joan. And he told me, okay, tomorrow I'm going to approve. He's very good. I'm going to have one client for him. So I do like a little tape on the size, using the blade, everything, you know. The only thing I was like little scary of the language. Because, you know, to communicate with somebody is a little hard to, you know, get a job properly.
Yeah. But basically your skills spoke for your life. So you weren't able to speak English very well, but your skills were good enough. He said, all right, we'll bring you on.
Yes. So I remember that he told me, you're going to start from today. You're going to have a free week for you. So you can build a little clients, you know. And after this, he told me, charge me the cheer.
Okay. So then he started charging. Now, did he make you take any classes with him? Like, was there any, did you know how to use scissors?
Yeah, from Dominican, yes. Because Hispanic people always do like a number two on the sides, like a fade. And on the top, they always use the scissors. So.
Okay.
I got knowledge like how to use. I know how to do I'll fade stuff like that. All of them.
And how long did you end up working at that first barbershop with the Jamaican guy? How long were you there for?
Over 7 years.
Wow. Wow. Good for over you.
7 years. Yeah, I was saving money. So, you know, I was building a lot of clientele because I was thinking like, after this, I'm going to move on to my own barbershop.
Okay. That was your original plan?
Yes, yes.
So what ended up happening?
So I opened my barbershop when I was 22 years old in this country.
And impressive, by the way.
Good yeah, for you. Yeah. So I used to have a girl together. She used to like be with me, help me a lot with a lot of stuff. And she helped me like to open my own barbershop. I opened my barbershop by myself. I rent I buy a chair, and I don't buy like some people, like when open a business, they buy everything because they got the money, you know. I opened the business. I had the, you know, the rent for the business, but I was open little by, when I open, I buy stuff little by little. So, yeah.
Big news for the SMP world. Follicule has just dropped their new scalp pigment. It's bigger, better, and made with Hanafi Color Pigments, one of the largest pigment manufacturers in the world. Not only is this pigment backed by world-class expertise, but they are giving you more of what you need. That's right. Their new, bigger bottles mean you have enough pigment to do 20 to 25 sessions in just one bottle. And because you're part of the Dot Daddy podcast community, we're offering you an exclusive deal. 15% off all pigments and aftercare products when you use the code DOTDADDY at checkout. Take your SMP game to the next level with Follicule Pigments. Go to the Follicule website. Get it now.
No, I had to do that opening my SMP business. You know, I got a chair that was decent. You know, basically I would get stuff that's good enough, but cheaper. And then when you start making money, then upgrade, buy better and better, you know. And then you got to get used to your space, right? So was it just you in there? In the barbershop at first, did you end up bringing on any of your friends, your fellow barbers?
No, it was me in the beginning. And after like 3 months, I started getting people because the business I opened, it was like Dominican. The name was Dominican Flow Unisex. So it was like female, like I trying to open like to make a salon, you know, hair unit too.
Okay.
So, after like 6 months, I get one girl, she used to do hair and stuff like that. And I built my business, you know. So I remember I put on the back, you know, the pool table, like we could play around.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when my client was like waiting for the appointment, they was playing on the back, you know, playing some pool.
Yeah. So they're not just sitting there bored. That's yeah. Cool. That's a nice waiting room. Now, yeah. How was this place big enough? Did you stay there? Could you sleep there? Or was it just a space to rent for the business?
It was a space only to the business. Okay. Because I was having the pool in the basement. So it was very big too, because I remember I rent one space on the back. All the way to the back, it was a Mexican dude. He used to do tattoos. So, you know, trying to make little money for everything, you know, to pay the rent. And I'm glad I built a lot of clients. So I stay in this neighborhood for a long, long time now. And a lot of people know me.
Okay. So did a lot of people from that first barbershop you worked at when you came over for 7 years, did they follow you to your new location?
Yeah. Right now, I'm not usually cutting hair anymore, but like a lot of people see me when I walk on the street and they say, oh, Joan, how you doing? You know, and they stay remind me, you know, they always say like, you never stop. You always working. I always see you on Instagram, you know, stuff like that. I tell it, thank you for always following me, you know.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's better than them seeing you and saying, hey, there's Joan. He's lazy. You know, you better be the hard worker.
Yeah.
are you married? Do you have any kids, Johan?
No.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, now, I know we were talking offline.
Now a little player.
Nothing wrong with that. Especially when you're single, truly single. with no kids. But back to the barbershop. So how long did you end up being there?
A couple of years, not too long, because remember when 2018 term, I was going to a barbershop battle. So I meet a lot of people there, a lot of connection, like a lot of people follow me from there. Like they stay watching me like, oh, nice, Joan. Now you, before you used to be a barbershop, now I see you doing S&P, you know. And I tell them, oh, thank you for always following me, you know.
So was it a barbershop battle? So that you met a bunch of people from that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Like a competition for cutting?
Yeah, hair? Like competition. They do it every year. You know Barbershop Connect?
I've heard of it, but I don't.
They used to do the battle every year.
So I cut hair, but I've never worked in a barbershop. But I've been cutting hair since I was 15, just cutting my friend's hair. I still cut my brother-in-law and my father-in-law's hair and some friends, you know, daily. Most of my haircuts now are just shaving the head bald, right? Sometimes a fade. But I never really learned how to use scissors.
Is the scissor is like, you know, it's now it's a lot of people trying to learn barbershop. It's easy because you see a lot of tutorials on YouTube. You can learn from different type of ways now. Yeah.
So how did you end up getting, so you're a barbershop, now you own a bar, you're a barber.
Yeah.
Now you own a barbershop. Then what? How did you eventually get into scalp micropigmentation? What happened?
Okay, great question. Remember I told you early, like I used to
before we started,
a Mexican dude on the back on the barbershop, and my barbershop, he used to do tattoos. So he told me, Joan, maybe I'm gonna stay in America 3 months more, and I'm gonna buy to Mexico to stay there. You able to learn how to do tattoos? I tell it, yes. I love drawing from when I was a little kid. I tell it, okay, let's do it. So when kids start, you know, and he told me, so let's start next week. So I learned a little bit how to use the machine, how to prepare the station. So this was the base to make me like to learn S&P to the, you know. So in the battle in 2018, I meet Jonathan Giroux.
John Giroux.
Yeah, I meet Eric. So he was all the way to on the corner. So I see him, you know, doing S&P. I was saying to myself, like, what is that guy doing? Like, it was people watching him, but not too much people like the other store, you know? So I go straight there. I take a picture with him. I still got that picture in my Instagram. If you go scroll down, you're going to see Eric. So he told me, Joan, this is going to be the new technique for the, you know, for the people who are, we know hair. I tell you, yo, I got a lot of clients like we know hair. This is amazing. Yeah, keep doing that. And, you know, and after like 2 years, I traveled to Miami. I meet Taylor Perry, and that's how I can come out, you know, S&P artist.
Wow. Wow. So you're in a barbershop battle. You see Eric Roberto. Shout to Eric. Shout to Ink You. Great Ink. Jade Needles, their sponsor of the show. And John Giroux. I trained with John Giroux, my second training in 2019. And Eric, I love those guys. And then so you see it, you're introduced, you're like, this is cool. And then, but before you end up training, were you just kind of looking at it, researching, thinking about it before you're like, you know what, I'm going to do this too?
Yes, yes. I was thinking I want to do it because I'm under the type of person I always like to upgrade, you know, to upgrade myself, to always doing better and better. And I remember I used to work with one dude on my barbershop. When I was in my barbershop, I was like 25 years old. He was like 45, I guess. And he told me, you always tired. You say like, you always tired doing barbershop. I tell it, yeah, but the barbershop is not going to be for all my life. You know, I trying to upgrade. And he's telling me, oh, I'm always good, you know. And I all that do on the corner say, but you know, everybody is different. Like maybe you good, you 45 years old, but maybe you are, you know, he little tired, he wants to upgrade. So yeah.
So you were just thinking, I want to upgrade my life. I can make more money doing this. Yeah.
Yes.
As far as I can tell, you don't have any SMP, do you?
Yes.
You do? You do have just the corners?
Yeah.
Cleaning up the hairline? Okay. You don't got the blonde in today. You don't like the blonde in today.
I cut it out. Yeah, I take it out. After I come here like 2 weeks ago.
Okay. Did you just shave it off?
Yeah.
Now, do you cut your own hair at this point? Do you go to someone?
Sometimes I go my cousin because here in Brooklyn, it's one of my my cousin, like he opened a barbershop. Sometimes when I feel lazy, he do it for me. But usually I do my own haircut, I do my own beard, everything, you know.
It looks good.
My table, everything.
So you go down to Miami and you train with Taylor Perry. Shout out to Taylor Perry. How was that? Was that your first time in Miami?
Yes. I was Hollywood. I forgot the name or the place over there. It's like a Hollywood something. I don't know.
Hollywood, Florida.
Yeah. He was there. Yeah.
Okay, so that was the older studio.
Yeah. He was an amazing place over there. A lot of restaurants and stuff like that. You know, I love Miami.
Did you meet any other SMP artists while you were down there?
Oh, yes, Cisco. Cisco SMP.
Shout out to Cisco.
This is my boy.
Yeah. I saw, do you remember a couple years ago, the Scalp Show? Did you go to that? The Scalp Micro, Scalp Expo, the one in Vegas or the one in Arizona?
Yes, I was in Las Vegas.
That's where I met Cisco, but I saw a video on your Instagram. I was like, because I didn't get to meet you. I didn't get to meet you, but I was kind of a loner at that. I was just focused on, learning, and then go back to my room. I didn't really get too crazy.
It was amazing experience. I meet Scout USA, the guy who
Matt Aiello.
I met him. A lot of artists,
There's a lot of really talented artists in New York.
Yes, a lot.
What's up, SMP world? It's Chris with the Blends Protein. A lot of people are switching over to our products. The most realistic results are being put out using Blends products. These products were made for artists by artists. We want to make you a believer. Here's 20% off your first purchase. Use
Dot Daddy
Podcast. Blends for the most natural results in the world.
Have you seen, now that you've been doing SMP for a couple of years, and you're really good, by the way. I mean, your work looks like you've been doing it for, 5 plus 7 years. So you could tell you put time and effort into it. And I love that. And you do a lot of those parts, the people with the parts in there. Do you like doing that?
Yeah, because I'm very creative. So I before the client come in here, I give you some choice. Like, you like those type of hairstyle? And they told me, let's do it,
So worst case scenario, you just fill it in later, right?
Yeah.
No, they look clean. You do a really good job. They look clean.
Thank you. You too. Amazing. Yeah, too.
I saw I also liked you created a video or a picture where you basically drew it on a tablet and then you were erasing it and it showed his before picture and then it was after. I thought that was really creative. I like that. But I also like the video where you're including, you got the hooks right here, right? So people who are just listening, around the ear where it hooks down from the temple and you put the little bar in there to block it. I liked how you did it. I like how you drew it on the tablet and then you showed it in person using the white line and then the yellow dots. I thought that was really creative. That was great video.
Thank you. All this process. You see all this process. Because I like to show some clients because, like this type of business, like it's a little expensive. So some people want to get approved, like how it look, the videos, stuff like that. So that's why with the tablet, I can give you a simulate, like you're going to look like this before they sign any contract,
What simulator are you using when you do that? Are you using a simulator? Is it something you made?
No, I use Procreate.
Procreate? Okay.
Yeah,
it works. I mean, yeah, it looks good. I like it. I even like how some of your, there's a few pictures where you put like 65 degree angle and you did that. I like that. I was like, okay. He's really breaking it down. You even put the needles. There's a picture. Kira popped this up. Kira's the editor of this. There's a picture where you put, the guy had a fade. It was the back of his head.
Yeah.
And then you put what you did on the top. It was like a 0.25. And then it works its way down. And you just showing. I think that's really educational because a lot of people, like you said earlier, they have no idea what this is. So you explaining that, it also helps the artists, people who are following you. They're like, oh, that's, I see what he did there.
Yeah, I created that picture. It's kind of like showing like the people, the hair and the size, the S&P on the top. So I break it down a little bit like, this is the needle I use on the top and the middle and the bottom, you know?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And I like how I do that too. I switch needles. Now, some people stick with the same needle. I like going to the smaller needle. I just think it looks cleaner that way. You know what I mean? Especially with the blending.
Yeah.
Has it been a challenge for you to get clients in New York because there's so many talented artists?
So it's like I got TikTok, I got Google, so 300 reviews on Google, 5 stars. So I got a lot of videos, pictures. So I always like trying to do marketing myself, like making videos, show up, nice job, always taking my time. Because I remember when I used to be a barbershop, when somebody come to me, and he told me, oh, Joan, I want a nice fade, nice beard. I never rush. You know, I take my time, but I never take too much. You know, I don't take too long, too. So it's like this is like the reason I always get people, because I always do an amazing job, you know. And sometimes, like, all my photos, like, people, when they go in my Instagram, they tell me, Joan, I go like bunch of Instagram, and when I see you, I stop and I don't look around anymore. So they come straight to me.
I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
And like I was saying earlier, I mean, you're doing a great job. And I think it's unique. I love those educational type photos that you put up. I think that helps the client. And other artists, you know, like myself, are just like, I like to look at it. I like to see something that stands out, that's different than what everybody else is doing.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. How do you feel about the beard SMP? I saw you do it a few of them.
So to be honest, like the beard SMP, I like to do it when somebody had like you see me, I got hair, mm-hmm. but I can feel some space. I don't like to do SMP when somebody with no hair. You know, some people like they don't grow no hair, like, and they told me, oh, Joan, can you do S&P for me? I don't like to do it like this because I would say, like, the face is very important. Like, I don't want to make no mistake, you know. I try to always use the good Prada and stuff. And I like to do it with somebody got beer, you know.
I completely agree. So you just want to fill in a few patches. You're not trying to make a full 5 o'clock show. Yeah, because some people will contact me. There's, like, 25 hairs right here. And I'm like, I'm not doing all that.
No, I agree.
You know what else I notice on your site that not too many post is you show the neckline. For people who don't know this, creating a neckline on the back of a head of somebody is a pain in the ass. It's very difficult to do, especially if they got a fat neck or they got a really skinny twig neck. It's hard to do. And yours are like, they look perfect to me. I mean, you did an amazing job. It's clean, really clean.
Yeah.
How'd you do that? How'd you get into it?
So before I go vacation, I was finished one client. His name is Juan. And I do his whole hair. I do the beard. I do the top. I do the bottom. And this picture is red. Is he's there in my Instagram. It's not too far, so it's like kind of on the top. So I do 3 lines and the back for him. He told me, bro, this is amazing. So when after do that picture that client, I get so many people now, they trying to do, I didn't know you can get S&P on the back, get me in.
Oh, so they're actually contacting you for the neck.
Yeah, after that, I did two people already.
Wow, wow. So are you just doing the back of the neck and then fading into their hair? Is it just they're missing hair here? They have hair up top?
Yeah, I blend it in. So I started from the S&P and I come down and I do the size too.
That's genius. That's genius marketing, because that's more people available, right? I mean, that opens up your clientele.
And it's amazing because this 26, I got somebody coming. They're going to do the S&P on the back too. He already my client. So he did the top. So now he told me, Johan, I saw those pictures you post. It's very amazing design. I want you to create something special for me. I tell you, you know something? Just come over. I'm here.
I love it. I love it. That's good for you, man. Good for you. And then that makes the person feel better, right? Because now they don't feel like it's empty in the back. Because a lot of times we do get people, they have hair loss all in the back of their neck and up here. But normally we're just fading it into the side about right there.
Yeah.
Do you like doing the natural hairlines or the perfect shape up more?
I like to do both. Because like this is like I can show off how who is the who is like the artist, like the he got talent, you know, like you can show up, like you can do, like it's like somebody working at the barber shop. You do only regular haircut, you're not gonna get too much client, you know, but you doing fade stuff like that, you get people. So I love to do natural hairline, and especially when somebody want to, you know, little design and the size.
So you like, you don't mind, you'll do whatever.
I don't mind, yeah.
Let me ask you this, because your work is so precise when you're doing these parts in the hair, how do you line it all up? What tool are you using and how do you do all that?
I use the pencil. I draw like thick line. Mm-hmm. And I look in the phone, like what picture I gonna make for him. You know, before I start making the design, you know, the client always got the choice already. So after that, I use the razor blade.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's genius. Cause I was like, how the hell is he getting it so crisp on the top?
Oh yeah.
You know, cause it's hard to get that line so smooth and clean right up here.
Yeah, I use the razor blade. Yeah,
it's making that's genius. Why didn't I even think of that? That's good. Thanks. That's a tip. Everybody listening, that's a free tip for you.
Yeah, of course.
Do you do it like as if you're doing your beard, the razor, and you keep it in there, or do you just hold the razor blade?
No, I learned from Dominican. Use the razor, only the razor for the eyebrows. Because okay. I get a lot of females to get a shape of ball. I like to use the the blade because it's more precise.
Yeah. Good for you. So you're just literally in there holding the razor blade with your two fingers, stretching the skin and just chiseling away, trying to clean that all up.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. That's genius.
Yeah, it's very, very precise. You can straight the skin like this. And when you, especially when you have the white line there, you can use the razor too and you can make it more sharp.
Yeah, it's one of my challenges is once I get the line drawn for perfect shape up, what I do is I fold the wet wipe into a corner and then I take it and then I just wipe it and I use my thumb to kind of press along and then just clean it up that way. And then I'll put the permanent marker dots on there. That way, if I accidentally wipe it, I can reconnect it easily. But yeah, I might try the razor in the future, man. Good shit. That was great.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
What brands are you using? What kind of ink? What needles and all that sort of thing? What's your favorites?
So I using Ghost ink.
Okay.
It's very nice. I used to using Follicule.
Okay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Follicule.
Yeah. So they both ink very good, you know. And the needles I used to use FYT ink, FYT needles. And now I create my needles, you know. So I have somebody in China, so who created a lot of needles for me. And they're pretty nice, you know.
Good for you, man. Congrats. What's the name of your needles?
Joan Micro 23.
Joan Micro. And if somebody wants to order them, how can they do that?
Right now, I don't have to sell.
It's just for you. You just get them custom made for you.
Maybe in the future when I get more, you know, student and stuff like that, maybe I can start a, you know, sometimes when I do one class, one by one, I give you one needle for my student. So I got different type of size.
Okay, good for you. So that's smart, though. I mean, you probably save some money by ordering them all and getting them custom made for you. Good for you.
Yeah.
And I imagine they're good quality if you're doing that kind of work.
Yeah.
So do you offer training, Johan?
Yes. I offer training by one. It could be two person or three, you know. So now I was talking with somebody who trying to, you know, get my class this month on 27.
Okay, so you have a class this January?
Yeah.
Okay, good for you. And if people want to train with you in the future, what can they do? They just send you a DM?
Sometimes they send me DM. I got referrals to people who send me, like, you know, students. I got a lot of referrals because Google.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So sometimes SMP artists won't train somebody who's local. Like, so if you're located in Brooklyn, if somebody from Brooklyn or Queens or somewhere close by says, hey, I want to learn from you, are you willing to train them?
Yeah, I can train them. Yeah, I got two friends who I train, like, they own a barbershop. One guy I trained like 3 years ago, he be doing nice job right now.
What's his name?
La Magia SMP.
La Magia SMP.
SMP, I'm going to send you his Instagram.
We'll pop it up on here.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for you. Okay. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Because I feel like New York has so many people. It doesn't even matter. You know, there's so many people living around there.
Everybody can eat, you know. I think that way. Everybody can eat, you know. I'm not greedy, you know. You know, like, everybody can eat. That's why how I think, you know.
Plenty of bald people to go around.
Yeah. And it's like, I've seen this business. It's like, it's not too many business. It's not like
microblading.
Microblading is not like tattoo artists. It's many, like, stores. Like, every corner you can see a tattoo shop. Like, SMP, you can see maybe one in Brooklyn, one in Queens, you know. It's not too many. Now it's getting busy, but not yet, right?
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet, yeah.
But that's good for us. That's good for us.
Yeah,
you know, because we're already established. Is there anything else people should know? So how can they contact you? What's your TikTok? What's all the name, your website, all that thing?
My TikTok is Joan Micro 23, Instagram Joan Micro 23, Facebook Joan Micro 23. And I got my page www.joanmicro23.com.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you for coming on, Johan. I really appreciate it. Stay on.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Joe. Daddy.